Welcome today to the Parenting is Hard Work podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taransky, with Elena Svetslet from the Netherlands. And we are here today to enjoy talking about parenting and parenting the heart. So welcome to this podcast as we host this together and talk about how to work with children using a heart-based approach.
Hi, everyone, and hi, Dr. Scott. It's very good to be together again. Last time we talked about spending some time journaling about our children and looking at the tendency they have in their hearts. So we would like to talk today a bit about that and what have you learned about your children. You know, a lot of the times as coaches, when we work with parents, one of the most frequent complaints is my child is not listening. When I give him instructions, he either ignores me, runs away, or simply says no. And many parents are asking, what should I do to change this?
That's an important question. I think it's good for us to talk about what to do when kids don't listen. I think that it happens in different ways. Sometimes children ignore, sometimes they say no, sometimes they say they're going to do it and then they don't. Sometimes they start to do it and then disappear. It's a great opportunity for us to talk to this issue and try to help parents understand what they can do. The problem is a heart problem, and if we can address this on a heart level, we can see some significant change take place.
Yes, indeed. And today we would like to focus on a tool that we use as part of our approach to coaching and to parenting. And it's a tool that we see work over and over again, but we don't want to focus on the tool itself, but we want to focus on the benefits it brings when used. So the tool we are talking about, it's called the instruction routine, and it's part of the heart-based approach to parenting that Dr. Scott has developed. What it does, it's through its application, children start changing the way they respond to instructions, and they start changing their character. So, you know, what we will talk about today, we will teach you how to give instructions to your children, how to see the response they give you, and how to work together in order to change their character and to develop their character, and also to practice and do therapy through this.
See, last time we talked about tendencies, and if a child has a tendency to ignore or resist, then that's a problem. And what we're going to do is we're going to do some really home exercises to start changing the heart. If we have a tendency of resistance, we want to change that to a tendency of cooperation. If we have a tendency to do a partial job, we want to have a tendency toward thoroughness. If we have a child who disappears and doesn't report back, we want to have a tendency toward obligation or responsibility. All of that is character. And so as we work with children using a technique that we've developed called the instruction routine, it's not about the technique. It's about what it does in the heart. So first thing you have to realize, parents, is don't just think about this about getting tasks done around the house. It's not about getting the laundry done or the clothes picked up or the dishes put away. We'll use those things. We'll do those things. But it's more about what's being built inside of a child's heart. When you practice something like the instruction routine over and over again, you don't just do it when you're trying to get the normal things done. In many cases, what you're going to do is 20 extra times a day to teach your child about a process, a way of responding when they receive an instruction.
Yes. So let's get started with the first step on this. So usually when we give instructions to our children, and I know this, I'm guilty of this myself, we usually shout or scream across the room at them, giving them the instruction, telling them what to do. The first step in the instruction routine, and something that's very, very important, is to get close to our child, to go next to them, or to make eye contact, or to put our hand on their shoulder, so that they can see us and pay attention to us, and stop the focus that they're putting towards something else they're doing. It's important because through this we are showing them that we respect them. We're showing that you know, the relationship we have with them we cherish more than the task itself. I found that so important for me, and I notice that when I do that, when I go close to my son and I give him a task or give him an instruction, he changes the way he responds. So I think it's so important for parents to think about how do they give instruction to their children, how do they start with that.
Yeah, and it's also a gift that we give, because here's what happens. A child who's engrossed in their activity, reading a book, playing on the iPad, playing with a friend or whatever, and they're very involved in that, often can't make the transition quickly to do something we've told them to do. So if we get close to that child, what we're doing is we're trying to interrupt their emotional connectedness in some respects to what they're doing so that they can break their concentration on that more easily. We want children to be able to jump to a better response and to see what that looks like. So we want to use this idea of getting close to a child to help them to be able to do the separation, the emotional separation from what they're doing.
Yes, indeed. And I think sometimes also we need to pay attention as parents. You know, our children are maybe busy with activities that are actually important for them to do, such as homeworks or, you know, cleaning or something like that. So when we give them instructions, we need to pay attention and consider that timing. So that is the next step, actually, for parents to think about when I'm giving instruction to my child, when I'm asking them to do something, what actually are they doing in that moment? You know, are they doing an activity which they should have been doing for a long time and they finally are at it? Or, you know, are they playing on their computer and it's okay to actually interrupt them and ask them to do something? So that would be something that we need to really pay attention even before we actually give the instruction itself.
Yes, when we have the timing question isn't, though, always to cater to our kids. Sometimes the timing is helping our child respond better to interruption. So if our child's engrossed in something and we start engaging them, that might be the best timing. So timing isn't always catering to the child's intensity of what they're doing, because some children give the impression there's no good time to give me an instruction. So what we're going to do is we're going to choose that timing well. Sometimes it means letting our child finish their homework or play with their brother for a little bit. Other times it means now is the time to do it. Just asking that question about timing is strategic, because it can often help us as we're trying to accomplish our goal.
Indeed. And Dr. Scott, we only spoke about parents and what we should be aware and mindful of. Let's focus a bit on a child as well. Children, when given instruction, also have responsibilities. And one of these responsibilities is to come and call. Children don't always respond or come when they are called. I remember when I first started training my son and doing therapy with him, that I did this game, and I played this game with him, and I said, Joshua, you sit here and play, and every time I call you and you hear your name, you must come to mommy. And when he would come, I would give him a hug, and I would do that as many times as I thought until he was getting bored, and he was then becoming more aware of the fact that every time he was called, he would come to me. So I think as children, children need also to understand that when they hear their name called, they have a responsibility, and that is to come to their parents or to the person who calls them.
Yes, and I think that as we're working with children with special needs, like a child who has oppositional defiant disorder, their inside of their heart, their initial answer is always no. Mm. And so when I'm working with a boy right now who's 9 years old, parents of a boy, and they're having trouble with him because whenever they say anything, he's contrary. And he says no. So I says, here's what we want to do. We want to give him a meeting. We're going to have a meeting with him, talk to him about the value of what we're going to work on here. And then we're going to say to him, hey, here's what we need to do. I'm going to call your name and you need to come right away. And that coming right away, when you come, you need to say yes. You see, the coming when you're called is an internal response in a child. I don't think that every child needs to come when called all the time. But if you've got a child who's obstinate or contrary or oppositional, then doing some practice sessions with that child to learn how to come when called creates an inner sense of obligation. My name's been called. I need to come. And to say yes is very appropriate. For the child to say yes, mom, will help overcome that tendency in the heart to say no. So the come when you're called part of this routine is strategic for helping children to make some changes in the way they relate.
Yes, and I cannot stop from thinking about the story in the Bible, the story of Samuel, when he is being called by the Lord in the night. And he responds and he goes to he goes to his teacher. I forgot his name. Eli. Exactly.
He doesn't ask any questions. He just says, "What, Eli, what do you want?" He comes right to him. What a great response. Here's a guy who understood, this little boy understood the come when you're called rule. So I really like that illustration, certainly from the Bible.
Absolutely. No, I think it's also important, like you said, to explain to children that when they are being called, this is what they need to do. I think sometimes parents, and myself included, have the expectation that children know what to do when they're being called. I think we need to be more explicit with them and share with them, when your name is being called, you need to do the following steps. And I think that's going to help children to learn better and to practice more.
Yes, and I think children have this responsibility to always be ready to receive an instruction. It's just, that's part of their job. I think some children believe their job is to get to the next level of the video game. We are in the business of teaching our children responsiveness to others. This is life skills for the future, not just for now. Children need to be able to be responsive, to come when they're called, to when the boss calls someone, he's expecting that person to come, not say, wait a minute, or wait till I get to the next level. So there's this expectation that we're creating in children that they have an obligation. This is just one of the many things that are taught in the instruction routine. So that's the part of the child as well.
Absolutely. That's so true. That's so true. I think also an area where parents sometimes need to be aware of their own behavior is, or their own action, is also when they are actually giving the instruction itself, when they're saying what their child should be doing. And I notice with many parents, including myself, I was not giving my son instruction the right way. You know, I would say, would you put your coat on? Would you put your shoes on? Can you please do that? So many times parents just give instructions, but they sound more like suggestions, or they sound more like, you know, it's an option for you. You could do that if you wanted to. And many parents don't really put themselves in the shoes of their children in a way to understand that for a child, that's just, for them, that's just a suggestion. And if they are perhaps at that moment doing something else, they won't pay attention. They won't understand. And, as parents, we get frustrated when we are not being answered by our children. But I think it's so important to realize, how do we give instruction, and to think about that.
The very words we use give kids clues or cues about how they're to perceive these words that are coming out of our mouth. If we're asking a question, they sometimes feel like, well, she's just asking me a question, or, oh, she's just giving me an opinion. But if we do it well, then we can have a child understand that this is one of those things that's not optional. I'm telling you what to do. I suggest to parents, when they give instructions, to use these words. Use the child's name, Billy. You need to do this now. The need to, when you say you need to, it fosters something in a child's conscience. And that's very important. See, the conscience is this place that we're doing work in as parents. We're trying to develop the conscience so it's strong. And what does the conscience say to you when you're lying in bed and you realize you left something on the stove? You jump up. I need to go make that change. So I really prefer those kinds of words. You need to now gives a sense of urgency to it. I think it's much more effective than some of the ways that parents give instruction. And it's really a loving way to help children know that this is one of those things I'm expecting you to do right away.
Yes, and it's also to the point, in many times children don't have a very lengthy attention span. So the shorter and the clearer the message, the better. I also noticed that with my son, giving an answer back really helps him to actually follow through with the task. I'll share a story. We go a lot outside with bicycle, and we take him on a bike, and so many times he wanders off or he just stays behind. And every time I call his name and I call him to me, he doesn't, you know, sometimes he just doesn't come, or he doesn't follow. And I follow through and I say, Joshua, what is the right answer when mama calls your name? And if he says yes, actually with his mouth, his feet are also moving, which is so amazing to see. So getting your child to answer back and say, you know, okay, mama, or yes, mama, or yes, papa, that really helps him or her to follow through with the instruction. I just noticed this amazing change in my own son.
Yes, it's so true, because as parents, then we can measure the child's attitude. If we get this, okay, mom, response, we know we have a problem. It's this statement, I'm going to go and do it, that we're looking for. Again, it's an adult skill. When the boss gives you a task to do, you don't just walk away. You say, okay, I got it. There's this, it's just a way of responding in interaction. When someone gives you a task to do, we need to teach children how to give an answer back. Okay, mom, or okay, dad. It's just part of the process. This is part of the setting up a routine. Just like a schedule routine helps children, this is a relational routine that helps children know what to expect, what to do, creates a sense of obligation inside of them that this is the right way to receive an instruction. So yes, we're on the right track here. This is great.
Yeah, and one area I wanted to share with parents is the practice. And, you know, I learned this through your course and through your coaching, Dr. Scott, how important is therapy and practice. And I think in our lives, we really do not do this. But if you think of therapy and practice as just over and over again, going over a certain activity until we get better at it. It's just like sporting, like exercising, you know, you just do it as many times that you need to get better at it. And it's the same with the instruction routine. You know, parents give clear instruction. We practice how to give instructions, and children practice how to answer back. I think we often underestimate our children, need to practice this so they know how to respond. I learned how important this is through the coaching and doing it with my own son to get him to actually, when the moment comes and I ask his name, because he practiced before, he does give the right response.
And that's because he's developing character. So think about character this way. Character quality is a pattern of thinking and acting in response to a challenge. So a patient person thinks and acts differently than an impatient person. A person who's cooperative thinks and acts differently than a person who's uncooperative. So what we're doing is we're identifying what a child needs to do in order to be responsive, and then we're practicing that, and it's starting to build this character, this internal expectation. We call it an obligation inside of a child that helps them to know how to respond in the right way. So all of that is trying to use the instruction routine to strengthen something inside of the child. It's not about the tasks we're getting done. It's about the way we're doing them so that we can build this character that a child's going to use for the rest of his or her life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as parents, after we give a child a task, most of the time we perhaps forget or get busy with other things that we're doing, and we forget to actually follow through with that child to make sure that they're starting to act on the task we've given them. So the next step for parents is to think about waiting expectantly. How can they, in the moment, make sure that they stay connected to what they have asked their children to do, so they can follow through with them and make sure that they are, you know, perhaps following with the child that, hey, Joshua, I didn't hear you putting your shoes on, or I still see your jacket laying on the ground. So make sure, you know, to make sure that we're not just giving a task and then let it be forgotten, but keep, you know, wait expectantly for it to be done.
Yes, I think this is very important, because sometimes parents give instructions and walk away. They really should see the child start to moving in that direction, and then that child should stay on task. Just think of a child who has attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. A heart-based approach really helps these children a lot, and the instruction routine is a great tool for therapy at home, because what we're doing is we're practicing a focus. Stay focused, do what you need to do. That's this step is the sense of obligation. When we build obligation into a child, that when mom gives a task, the child says, okay, the child starts to do the task, they need to stay on that task until they report back to dad or mom and let them know that the task is completed. So very important step here is to wait expectantly so the child feels the pressure. Mm-hmm. We don't forget about it. The child's feeling this pressure as we're going through. Very important piece.
Yes, absolutely. And like you said, once we give the instruction, we want to see the activity starting, getting started, our child should be starting to do the job as if he or she is on a mission. And you know, put their effort into it and put all their thoughts into it. I think this is something important, and you mentioned about this before, about the attitude that a child has when he's given a task and when he's doing a job. You know, if we see our child, if the child comes and says, "Okay, mom," and starts doing the job, but he does the job in a way that it's not appropriate, or we see that he is not really into it, I think that's also a moment we can teach our children and help them to actually guide them on doing the job as they should do. You know, the Bible says we should, in everything we do, we should do it as for the Lord. And I think that's so important to realize that even for the things that you sometimes don't like, and our children don't like to do many things, we need to put effort into that, and we need to help them understand that.
It's true that parents sometimes will say, "Well, I just wish my child would want to do the right thing," but that's not the goal. Well, I don't know if it's a goal or not. That sometimes isn't even reasonable. I don't want to go out and mow the lawn, but I do it anyway because my need to is greater than my want to. And that's the essence of responsibility. I think in this area of sending children to do a task and keeping them on this mission, they have this internal sense that they're on a mission, is what helps to develop character. When we give children chores or tasks around the house, or we give them an assignment to do, all of those things are building into them the character they need. I like to say that we're working on three main character qualities with children in this stage of the instruction routine. We're working on this sense of perseverance, hanging in there even after I feel like quitting, determination, this ability to work hard, and thoroughness, the ability to pay attention to details. When we're working on those three qualities, we need a vehicle to do that. So the instruction routine helps us because the child's sent on a mission, and then we can hold them accountable. We know that they're out there doing what they're supposed to be doing. And if they're not, then we're saying, "Hey, we need to do this. We need to check out this," and so on. So that's going to bring us to this next step, I think. And let's do the child's part first here, because the child needs to initiate here. The child needs to report back when the child's done with the activity. Now, this reporting back is important because the child's coming back for the release of this sense of obligation. The child has this duty to report back because they're done. We've transferred responsibility to the child to not just do the task and disappear, but they need to report back. So if I go into the kitchen, and let's say I have a 14-year-old son, his job is to do the dishes, and I come back a little while later and he's watching TV, I go, wait, you're doing the dishes. He says, "Oh, I finished that, Dad." Wait a minute. You're not done until you report back. Come on, let's go look at it in the kitchen. Let's see what we're doing. So what we're doing is requiring a child to report back. It's a strategic part of their completion of this routine, the instruction routine.
Yes, absolutely. I love this step because so many times we don't, as parents, we don't expect our children to come back and report, and we don't know if the task is done or if that is not done. So having that report back is also a life skill that helps our children for future in their future. You know, working in a job in a business world, you need to go back and report if you've done your work or if you haven't. So I think that's such an important step, and it also helps children that lack self-control, because they're practicing this small task, and to keep on, to stay on task, it's just helping them to become more aware, more confident, and also just help them learn. Because as parents, we go and we inspect what they've done, and we can share with them teaching, we can show them how to do the job in a better way, and that really helps them learn and get better next time.
When we inspect what the child's done, sometimes we find that the child hasn't completed the job well. I take my son in the kitchen and I say, "Okay, when I say your job is to clean the kitchen, it means when you're done, shut the cupboard doors and clean that gunk out of the sink." So I'm able to critique the work in order to establish a standard, but I'm also then able to affirm him when he's done and give him this release. So at the very end, when we inspect a child's work, we release the child. So do you remember back when we were giving the instruction and the child says, "Okay, mom," or "Okay, dad"? We're putting a weight of responsibility, this obligation, on a child. They carry that weight through the task until they complete it and report back. And then when we're done, we release it. This is the work of the conscience, and we're just exercising this as parents. The conscience makes you feel uncomfortable if you haven't done a task. And then when you do it, you want to mark it off your to-do list because there's a sense of release. There's this process we're taking children through. I even call it a cycle that we take children through. The instruction routine cycle over and over and over again, because it's building inside them the character they need in order to be effective as they relate to tasks and life and responsibility and authority and so on.
Yes, Dr. Scott, I just want to draw attention to two things which are so important. And I really want to share this with the parents that listen to this podcast. The instruction routine helps in two major areas. One is the anger management that children sometimes experience, and also to reduce selfishness. And I'll just briefly talk about this, and you can, we can go together more into detail. But I love the fact that children who are selfish and have a hard time giving up what they're doing, through practicing the instruction routine, they're actually learning how to give up their agenda and do what they are not necessarily liking to do. And in that way, they reduce their selfishness. They help their start thinking more about others and caring for others, and we can teach them how to do that. And that's so fundamental for children, especially when they're young, but not only, to learn that character quality, think about others than about themselves. And also, as I mentioned about the anger management, I really think following the instruction routine, practice it over and over again with children, it increases their tolerance level for when things don't go their way or for when they're being told no. What's your thoughts on this?
Yes, when parents come to us as coaches and they say to us, my child is self-focused, or my child, everything's about her, or my child has an anger problem and is erupting in anger several times a day. What do? As coaches, we start and we say, okay, we will work on that in this 8-week program, but we're not going to actually touch the anger or the self-focus until week 4, because in week 1, we're going to start with this instruction routine. We're going to practice this. And what's interesting is many times we're working on this for 3 weeks, is then we add these other skills that we'll need for week 4. What happens is that the child actually drops off the anger. The anger decreases because we've dealt with the root issues by practicing the instruction routine. So, Elena, you're exactly right. I just think parents, if they will use the instruction routine, it covers so many different things inside of a child's heart. It's so valuable and powerful as we're working with children. Most of the time in the coaching program, that's where we start, because the instruction routine really develops in the child what they need in order to be successful in life.
Yes, absolutely. And like you were saying, in the beginning, it addresses some of the tendencies that we see in our children. So many of them, sometimes we don't even think about it very further. But, being angry, being selfish, not cooperating with their parents, having no sense of obligation. These are characters that are so important for children when they're small, but also when they're young, when they're older. Now, Dr. Scott, should we summarize what we discussed and give parents a short task for the next episode, before the next episode?
I would suggest, and we always give tasks as coaches, that's what we do. So we give homework to people continually in every one of our sessions. So even in the podcast, we're giving people homework to do. Go and start working with your child. Have a meeting and say something like this: son, I'm going to help you. I'm so excited about working with you here. I'm going to help you with cooperation. It's going to help you to be successful you'll be a better dad someday, a better husband someday. It'll help you in your schoolwork. We'll have a stronger relationship. Let's get together and I'm going to work with you, and I'm going to call your name about 20 times a day. You're never going to know why I'm calling you, but I'm excited to work with you because I'm going to give you tasks to do, show you how to do them, and have you report back. And this is going to be great. You're going to develop some cool things in your heart. So let's work on this together. So have the meeting like that, then practice it. Practice it 20 times a day if you can, outside of your normal tasks that you do. with just small things. Keep them small. You might even do drills sometimes. Give 3 or 4 tasks or instruction routines in 5 minutes. In other words, trying to build new patterns. Let's build the patterns of responsiveness. Come when you're called, give an answer back, report back when you're done. And that will really adjust some important things inside of the child and affirm the child when the child's doing well. So you're doing great. Your cooperation level is increasing. You're going to be you're obviously going to be a great mom someday, and with the way you're cooperating, and this is going to be exciting to see you grow. You know, all of that is affirmation that you want to give. So use that as you're working with your child. Practice this week and be sure to let us know. Let us know how things are going, and we'd love to hear from you.
Indeed. And I will be summarizing the steps that we went through. So you can find that in the podcast notes or wherever you're listening. If you check the notes and the episode notes, you will find all the steps we talked about. So please go there and check them out. And we are going to share more information and more wisdom with you from the Parenting is Hard Work next time we will be talking.
That's great. And if you want more information, you can join us at biblicalparenting.org. You can find more resources and tools that can help you as you relate to your family using a heart-based approach.